try to adjust this a little bit. I see one. I see two. You want to start those now? Now, I'm going to try my best to get this thing a little louder here. I don't know if we're not. Does that take it up some? Is that louder? Okay. So then that means I don't know how to do this, doesn't it? Okay, I'll just have to holler a little bit, I guess. Okay. Now, let me, a couple things I want to mention here. See if I've got a pencil here. I'll start this. I need one. Bob, get us a pencil, two pencils, will you? Two pens back. Have you got them? Nellie's got some at the back. Get the two pens back there. She's coming with some. She'll replace yours. Huh? Okay. Now, one of the things that we're trying now, of course, we're going to be trying to adjust for the next couple of weeks on space and things of that sort. You've already heard some interference when the youth group downstairs are singing the first part. That'll be something we'll have to deal with. And so what I want you to do to help me out a little bit, all you can now, is it's a new classroom. It's not new, really. It's just new facilities for us. And I know they'll be more comfortable and that sort of thing. But it will help me, and it'll help you too, if we'll set up closer to the front as we can and try our best to get a little bit closer. Some of you can move this morning if you want to. But anyway, I would like to do that. And if you'll do that and help me out, I'll promise you that I will dismiss you a couple of minutes before the bell rings so that you'll have time to go back where you normally sit. And so we want to keep that in balance and everything so that we can help each other out. And so now, CL, can you hear me okay? All right. How about back on the back? There's you okay, Ron? All right. Put directions. I'm sure they will, but we'll ask about that. I'm sure that'll happen. If they don't, what you need to do is go over and spend the night with Kobe and Corky, and they'll take you down. now you'll get directions. Okay. But now, when you get these cards, it may be a little inconvenient right now, but move wherever you need to keep those things going so we can get them around and get them passed out and signatures on them. So I appreciate your help on that. So it'll take us a couple of weeks to make some adjustments, but if you will, come on toward the front, and I'll let you out in time to get you back in the right wherever you want to be. During the worship service, okay, Joe. I couldn't hear. Did you get all the announcements made? Okay. All right, that's good. Then we'll go into. I'm not going to teach on David this morning. I'm going to go to something else. I want to challenge you with this morning, and we'll see how that works out. All right, now. Let me ask you a question, first of all. Why did you come here this morning? Now, I know there's a lot of answers to that question, and you can say a lot of different things. Somebody might say, well, somebody invited me, and I came with them, and that's good. If somebody may say, well, it's Sunday. We go to church on Sunday. That's what we do. Somebody else may say, we came to study the Bible and to pray. And that sort of thing. All these are good reasons. Or to see my friends. I want to see them. I enjoy the fellowship. All these things are perfectly good, legitimate reasons for coming to church, but I want to try to disturb you a little bit and give you a, shake that thinking up just a little bit and give you a different view on it this morning and try to get you to think about why should we be here? What's the reason that God would be pleased with that we come? Now, I know we talk about fellowship, and that's fine, but now that's not the major reason God wants us to assemble together. He wants us to come together for some other thing, and I want to point that out. We come to study the Bible and to pray, and that's perfectly good. That's that we ought to, you see. We need to pray for each other, and we need to pray for this prayer list that goes around, all these different things. But let me ask you a question. Suppose somebody, one or more people in here, had studied the Bible, and they knew this Bible from page to page. They could recite just anything you wanted to hear from the Word of God. And they just knew it backwards and forwards, you see. And they walk out of here and never do anything with it. What benefit would that be? Not a whole lot. Would it help them? It'd be great to know it. I wish I knew a lot more. But if we leave here and we never say anything to anybody about what this is all about, then what benefit is it? What's going on in our lives that would keep us from talking about what we know here in the Word of God? All right, now, I need to ask another question. Did everybody get a bulletin when you came in? You'll know why I'm asking this in a minute. Did everybody get a bulletin? You did not get one, Harold? You didn't get one? Okay. Let's see. Leroy, get you a handful of bulletins back there. And if you'd like to pass out bulletins, now we're making a change here on this now this morning, and of course that's another reason we missed Jeter. I miss him every day. I really do. And he was always going around, you know, talking about the who. Now hold your hand up if you did not get a bulletin. Okay. Behind you, Leroy. Back behind you. To your left, Leroy. You're doing good, Leroy. If you did not get a bulletin, just hold your hand up. Now, they'll be on that table back to the back when you come in. We'll try to channel everybody we can through this door on my left, and you're right. Coming in the morning, maybe that'll help us a little bit, and we'll till we get things organized. All right, everybody got a bulletin. I'm not gonna read it to you or anything. I will get to it in just a minute, though. But now we think about this. Why should we? We got all kinds of reasons for being here, but why should we be here? We certainly come to study the Bible. Of course, we want to know more about it. We certainly come to pray for each other and develop a prayer list and things of that sort. And so we need very much to be in studying the Bible. But again, if we knew the whole thing and knew all about it and could recite it and didn't say anything about it, what good would it do? Why would we even bother to study it? Well, let's look and see. I want to give you, I picked up this little card here, and this is a quote from John R. Rice. I don't know where I got it. It was in a sermon or a book of his or something like that. But listen to what he says right here. And let this bear on your heart about what we ought to be doing for people in this area and in trying to win them to Christ. Now, John R. Rice made this statement, and I'm reading now. If there is a place of eternal torment where damned souls cry in vain for water and the flames they cannot escape forever, it is the most alarming and terrifying fact in the universe. Now, you think of that a little bit. Now, then he says the very possibility that such a doom may await a sinner is so shocking that no other question can compare with its importance. Now, if we know that, what should we be doing about it? And we know what this book says. What should we be doing about that, you see? All right, now turn over. I'll give you a verse or two in first of all, I'll get you over in Romans chapter 5. But what I want to see here is in Luke 19 and verse 10, the Word of God says, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. All right, now, Then the same day, now that he was crucified, he was buried, and he came from the grave, he was resurrected, and the disciples were perplexed. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to think about the situation, and they were all together in an upper room, and they were talking about this thing, about what's going to happen. The Lord we thought was going to deliver this nation is gone now. We've seen it. We saw him crucified. We've seen his tomb. It's empty now. We don't know what's happening. And then all of a sudden, just out of the clear, Jesus appeared in the room. And the first thing he said to them was, "Peace be unto you." Now, he calmed them down, calmed their fears. I don't know about you, but that would have scared me to death, I guess, if I'd been there. And most of us, it would have. But anyway, Jesus was there in the room, and he spoke to them. And he said, and this is in John 20 and verse 21, he said, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you." Now, that's the words of Jesus, see. And now we just got done reading in Luke 19. He said, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior, you see. He came to call men to repentance. So what has he given to us to do? He said, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." So what are we supposed to be doing? Now, the answer is obvious. We're supposed to be trying to get people to Christ, you see, and win them to him, you see. And so now the question comes up, can you save anybody? Well, no, we can't. Can I save anybody? No, we can't. Can the preacher? No, we can't. But we can point them to the Lord Jesus so that they can come to him and be saved, you see. And so that's what we're here for. We can't save anybody. And he says, "I'm going to use you. I'm going to train you, and you can be my witnesses, and you can serve me," you see. Now, every one of us wants to be obedient to the Lord, I think, and we're saved, and we want to be that. And so he says then, we're to be used of him. And so he says in Acts 1:8, "Ye shall receive power." He's already said that he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. And as the Father sent him, he's sending us. Well, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? He said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, that's what he told us. Now, so he's given us, not only he said, "Here's what I want you to do," he's also said, "This is how I want you to do it. I want you to be a witness to me." And so then we go from there. We know we want to be obedient to him, and we want to serve him, but how are we going to do it? Well, you may say, "I don't know how to lead anybody to Christ. I don't know how to give them the message." Well, that's what I want you to have the bulletin. In Romans chapter 5, let me give you this verse, and we'll go to this. Turn there to Romans chapter 5 if you're not already there. And the Bible says, Paul says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So he wants every one of us. He said, "I want you to be saved," and we are justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how does that come about? And there, if you'll turn over on the back of your bulletin, you'll find there a plan that's been advertised here for a long time on the back side of your bulletin. Now, if you don't find that, there's a question there. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? That's a simple question there. And so, does everybody see that now? If you don't see that, hold up your hand. I think everybody sees that. All right, now the first thing we're going to do, if we're going to try to get somebody saved, going to win them to Christ, is that there's five steps down through here that he tells us that we need to know, and we ought to know how to do, see? And so the first thing is that God loves you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, after you're justified, you need to understand that. If you're not saved, you need to understand that this is what's available to you. If you're saved, God has justified you. Now, that's not because you deserve it. That's not because you wanted to be. That's not, well, you had to want to be to come to it. But that's not because you sought him. He sought us, you see. And so we have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ with a desire to be saved. And then he saves people, and he justifies you. Now, that doesn't mean you deserve it. That doesn't mean you'll ever earn it or anything like that. But when God looks at your record through the blood of Jesus Christ, he said, that person is justified in his sight. That just means that there is no record. God sees no record that you have ever sinned. Now, that's what he means when he justifies you. Then he says, now, we all need that. He says here on the back of your bulletin, now, God, you have sinned. In Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right, now, every one of us, that means the Sunday school teacher, you folk, means the preacher that'll get up here in a few minutes, means the deacons, the people that take the offerings, the ushers, everybody's sinned and come short of the glory of God. And your sin must be paid for. All right, now, Jesus came and he died, for the wages of sin is death, and the wage had to be paid by somebody. Now, the Bible teaches us then in Romans 5, 8, that but God's commended his love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he paid the total price, and he gives us the opportunity to come to him, you see. And so you can give this same plan right here, you can teach that, you can give that to anybody you come in contact with. So he paid for our sin. And then in Romans 6 again, he says the gift of God is eternal life. And so he will save people if we will just come to him. Now, how do you get that? He paid for your sins now, but you have to accept him as your Savior. Then, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No work, no effort on your part. All you have to do is ask him to save you, and he will do that, you see. And he says he will do it. Okay, now, so let's take it this part. I'm trying to challenge you. Now, suppose you leave here today. You say, I don't know how to do that. I couldn't do that. I could never lead somebody to Christ. I don't know how to do it. Don't know what to say. Don't know these verses or something like that. Take this book. Cut it out. Take it with you. Now, suppose you leave here today. in 2 hours from now or something like that, you drive out the road here, and right in front of McDonald's over here is a horrendous automobile wreck. Somebody's laying out on the road, dying. They have mortal injuries there, and they're going to die. And now, what would you do? What could you do to know and assure that person that they have the right to go to heaven? They can still see and breathe. If you had this little bulletin right here, you may say, I don't know those verses. I couldn't quote them in a year. But listen, if you have this is also on cards that we have you can carry in your pocket. If you have this, you could read this to somebody laying out in the middle of the road, ready to die or something like that, and lead them to Jesus Christ. So there's no excuse when we go from here, you see, and that's what I want you to see, and that's what God wants us to do, is to witness for him, but be prepared. Take these and memorize these verses, and it'll help you, and you'll be able to. One thing we need to understand is that all through our life, every person that we see, wherever you're going shopping, or you're going to Walmart, or you're going to work, or you're going out to a construction site, wherever you go, everybody that you see is going to spend eternity somewhere. Now, let that soak, folks. We really need to realize that. They're going to spend somewhere, and as John Rice said, for millions and millions of years, they're crying for water, and there's no hope of ever getting a drink of water, a drop of water, you see. And so think about that just for a minute. But this is what the Lord where the Lord leads us. And so he gives us this, you see. And then I want you to see something here in the book of Philippians. Now, I want you to turn to chapter 4 in Philippians and look at what you have the opportunity to do. See, now, we've gone through this bulletin. What's on the back of it? Everybody in this room may be saved. I don't know. But anyway, if you're not, then you have the opportunity before you leave here today to follow these steps right through here and trust Christ as your Savior. All right, now, I suppose we have done that. Now, in Philippians chapter 4, look in verse 4, and he tells us what to do about this. And so what he says to do there, I can't half see my watch here this morning, but anyway, I'm going to try to keep on track here so I can let you out, as I promised a minute ago. All right, now, what he said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Now, should a Christian, somebody saved and born again, you know, have escaped the fires of hell, you're going to heaven one of these days, should we rejoice? My, we ought to be praising God every day we live, and every moment, you see, and things of that sort. Now, I know we have a lot of pain and a lot of heartache and things of that sort, and folks, I wish we didn't. I don't know, but God set that up, you see. And I thought about this. We've attended a lot of funerals in the last few days. And I don't like to see people die. I don't want to die. I'd like to stay here for a long time. But did you ever stop and think about this? All of us, we all want to go to heaven someday. I think everybody would say yes to that. Did you ever stop to realize there is no other way to get from where we are to heaven except through death? That's all. That's why the Word of God says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And so if you're saved, it's a joyous thing, you see, on the part of that person. And it should be a comfort to the family, you see, too, if we do that. So, I'm not trying to make a light thing, issue out of death or anything of that sort, but it's God's way of moving us from here to heaven, you see. And so we need to look at it from that standpoint. All right, chapter 4, again, he said, rejoice. We have something to praise God about. We can rejoice in the Lord always. And then in verse 6, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. All right, now, what's he saying here? Back in Romans 5, he said he'll justify you if you'll just come and ask him. We read it on this bulletin here. All you'd have to do is ask the Lord, and he'll save you, you see. And you're justified. But then he says, go a little further. Rejoice in that. And then he says to pray and supplication. That just means beseeching the Lord, begging God to do things for you or for your neighbors or for your relatives or people like that. And so that we'll bring them to Christ. And if we can do that, he said by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, that's a step further than just getting saved. Some people get thief on the cross, didn't have a chance to do anything else, did he? He was gone in just a few hours. All right, we have an opportunity now. Everybody don't live for the Lord, but we should. But now, whether or not you ever do anything for him or ever live for him or not, once you've trusted Christ, he is going to take you to heaven. You're justified in the sight of the Lord. But are we willing to stop there after what he's done for us? Why don't we go ahead and serve him? And he says here, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be not made known unto God. And the peace of God, which will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Now, folks, listen. If you get out and you give the plan of salvation to somebody, there's just something about doing that gives you peace in your heart, you see. And God's there, and he said, I'll go with you, and I'll take care of you. I'll show you what to do and do all these things. And there's something about doing this and following the Lord that gives you peace in your heart, you see, and you want to do that. All right, now, but it's better than that. It goes further than that. There's more to it than just that. God does give you his peace, but you don't always have that. You may not. You may have doubts and things of that sort, but then he goes further. Look down again in verse 9, and he said, these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. All right, now, so there's more than just justification. There's more than just peace with God. He said, there's some things that you have learned. Paul says in these books, I've showed you how to be saved. I've showed you how to lead somebody else to the Lord, you see. He said, you have received my word. And I'm summarizing what Paul is thinking now. He said, you've received the word that I've given to you. And it's a good thing that you have done that. You have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You received him. You're going to heaven. And so he says, now the peace of God rules in your heart. And he said, you've heard some things. You've heard how God has defeated Satan and how he's made provision for all of our needs, and he's taking care of us. He's doing all these good things to us. And so Paul says, now, if you've seen these things, I've shown you these things, and I've demonstrated, I've led people to Christ, I've started churches, I've won people to the Lord, all these things. He said, why don't you go out and do those things? And do those things. Now, is there any reason that every one of us couldn't do something? Jody's been preaching tremendous sermons now on the wall around Jerusalem that Nehemiah had them build, you see. And so everybody can do something. Everybody has a job that they should do and that they ought to do and they can do, you see. Some people can't do the same thing that I do. Some people can do it better. Some people can do other things that we need, you see. But we can all do something, every single one of us. And so now what does he say about this? He said, if you'll do that, notice what he says here in verse 9. He says, if you'll practice those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Go out and do those things. And he said, the God of peace shall be with you. Now, so far we've got down to, we said, God justifies a person if they'll ask him to save them. Justified by the grace of God. All right, now, another step then, he says to pray and to ask God to save your neighbors or your loved ones or your friends or somebody else, you see, and give thanks to God for that, and you can have the peace of God. But then it's different if you say, well, I'm going to do the things that I've learned. I'm going to do what I've seen. I'm going to tell other people about what I've received. And he said, if you'll do those things, the God of peace will be with you. Now, it's one thing if you get in your car and you start off somewhere and you say, well, I did this and God blessed me, you know, and he did those things for me. And I'm so glad. It makes me feel good. And I'm glad that I'm a child of his and he's being with me. Now, but now go a little bit further. He said, now, if you'll just practice this and you'll go and you'll do these things every day, the Lord said, I'll go with you. He said, the Lord will be with you. Not just the peace of God, but he said, I'll be there. So you get in your car and go down the road, and he's right there in the seat beside you. You can see you start having problems of some kind, God's right there with you. He lives with you, you see. Now, when we get saved, he comes and takes abode in our heart for salvation, you see. But there's a different thing in living for him and being a witness for him the way we ought to be. And so he said, if you'll do that, I will be with you, and I'll go with you, and I'll take care of you, and I'll be right beside of you. I'll live with you wherever you go. Now, I will be there with you. Now, wouldn't we all like to have that? Wouldn't we like to have Jesus with us and doing the things with us and for us that we cannot do? I used to pray, now, Lord, I don't know how to state this. I really don't. But I used to pray, Lord, I need help. Just help me. Then I went from that to saying, Lord, I need you. I've got to have you. I've got to have your help. But now, folks, listen, there's more to it than that. What I need to do, there's a verse back in 1 Corinthians where it says that the Macedonian Christians, first of all, they gave themselves to the Lord. And then I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I believe it is, there was a family, I believe it's Stephanus, I'm not sure about that name. But anyway, he says that that whole family was addicted to the ministry. Now, I'm saying that's what we want. We need to give ourselves to the Lord. And we need to be addicted to serving him, you see. Now, what we're talking about here, what I think we ought to do is ask the Lord, Lord, I don't want you just to help me. I want the me part of it to get out of it. I want that outside of it completely. And I want to give myself totally and completely to the Lord and say, Lord, you use this body or this testimony or whatever it happens to be, you know. Now, you can't completely take me out of it. You're always part of the equation. But you can try to get yourself as far back in the corner, as far under this thing, and away from the front stage as you possibly can and say, Lord, I don't want you just to help me. I want you just to take charge. And I'll be your legs, and I'll be your voice, and I'll be that part of you that goes out and talks to people about the Lord. And so that's what it means when God says, I will go with you. And I'll take care of you, and I'll do all these things for you, you see. And so we need to practice that, and that's what he wants us to do in trying to serve him. All right, now, but now, see, that's not all of it. There's still more. It gets better all the time. And so what I want you to do is turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's look here. 2 Corinthians 6. Now, if you're going to serve the Lord, some things have got to happen in your life, you see. Now, you have to be willing. And verse 14, I want to mention this. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 6. He said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? All right, now, think about it this way. Now, if you cannot, light just doesn't exist with darkness. You just don't. Righteousness does not coexist with unrighteousness, you see. It'll mess you up. And you can say, well, I'll win that unrighteous person, their influence and things of that sort. You won't do it. They'll drag you down. If you study the Word of God all the way through the book of Judges and all the way through the book of Kings and Chronicles, not one time did they go into a heathen land and start witnessing to those people and convert them to the Jewish faith. Never did. Not one of them. But now what happened? Many, many, many times you find out that those people went in and God said, you get rid of them. You kill them all. You get rid of everything, all their art, all their images, and you get their groves and you cut them down and you get rid of every bit of it. And so when people did that, when they did that, God blessed them. But the sad fact about it is the children of Israel didn't obey God. They did not do what he said to do. They let these people live, and the next thing you knew, that they were marrying their kids, and they were just intermingling and worshiping with them and all that sort of thing, and were taking up their gods, you see. And it does not work. He says that you got to come out from them. Don't be not unequally yoked together with those folks, you see. And so then down in verse 17, what I want to come to. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, think about this a little bit. Now, we've talked about a person now that's been justified by the grace of God. They have gone a little bit further than that. They've said, all right, I need a prayer life, and I need to pray for my neighbors and things of that sort. And they thank God for other things, you see, for the things that they enjoy. And then you get down to that part of it. Isn't there something more than this? And we saw that if you'll just give yourself totally and completely to God, that he'll bless you, and you can have peace with God. You can have the peace of God, and then you can have the God of peace that'll go with you, stay with you all the time. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's try to realize what he's saying here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want you to get a picture here of this. Most of us have been to a family reunion. Almost all. We have a lot of them going on this time of day, and they have graduations and all kinds of things people gather for. But most of us have been to a family reunion. Now, when I go, invariably, we saw last one, we had one over at Virginia's people, and I saw people there, and they say, and she did, and they'd say, oh yeah, I belong to so-and-so. Oh yeah, I remember that. I think we must be about third or fourth cousins or something like that. Don't know their name. Haven't seen them in years, and maybe never before, just met them, you see, but you're still kin folks. Now there's Christians like that, folks. I want to tell you the truth. There are folks that are saved that don't know what it is at all to witness for the Lord, and they're way out. They're still part of the family now. They still belong to God. In Romans 5:1, he said, being justified by faith. Now, if you've been justified by faith, that's never going to be taken away from you. It's always going to be there. That'll take you to heaven. But now, where do you want to live, you see? Think about this family reunion. There are people that's distant cousins and things of that sort. They're still kinfolk. They're still part of the family. But you don't have much fellowship with them, you see. You don't know them very well. You don't know that you can name their children or things of that sort. You don't know what their habits are, where they work or things of that sort. You just know that they're part of your overall family, you see. All right, now you move a little bit closer. And you see some folks there. Oh, yeah, there's my first cousin. I saw her down at the Walmart. Or I saw him, at work the other day. We talked about things. I know his children, and things of that sort. And there you have a bond with them that's nearer than these distant cousins. You see where I'm going now with this? All right, now, then you go a little bit further and you say, oh, here's my brothers and sisters. And my, we get together every once in a while. We have such a good time. Such a good time. I remember when I was a little boy. My daddy used to come. We lived in North Carolina. A lot of my kinfolk lived up in Johnson City area, and we'd come over there and see them. People slept everywhere. I didn't know what it was, sleeping in bed. We slept on the floor most of the time, but that's okay. We had a good time. But they would sit up all night long and just talk. Now, I don't know what they talked about. There's a lot of people who do that. We got friends over in North Carolina. This one lady over in Fayetteville, her and Virginia get together. They could stay a week. Never get tired of talking. Now, what does that mean? I mean, that's that inner bond of friendship and relationship, you see, that we have. And so that's what you have with your close family, you see. But God says, if you'll do this now, if you'll take this step, and he says right here in this verse, he said, now, I will receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And you get there, you get to the very inner core of the family, you see. And so we met out here in the Family Life Center yesterday in Palma. Now she's a year older, I guess. And so she had a birthday party. All these folks came in. I don't know how long it had been since she'd seen many of them, but had a tremendous time of fellowship here, you see. But the Lord says, now if you'll do that, I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. You go to a family gathering, and you hadn't seen mom and dad. My mom and dad are both gone, so are my wife's. And, but we had a tremendous relationship with them. Never had a quarrel with them or nothing of that sort, you know, never did. And so there some may see, oh, there's mom and dad. You know, I just hadn't seen them in a month or a week or a year or something like that. And that's what God says, I will be to you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll always stay with you. And if you'll be my witness, you'll give yourself unto me. He said, I will always take care of you. Never leave. Now, the question we need to ask ourselves, we read this bulletin here. We went through this little simple outline, and it's very simple. It's not hard to understand, but now we need to know how to lead somebody to Christ. Now, see, I took this thing, and there's some other people go, I use the word cross on my fingers. I spell cross is the condition of a man. It's not been saved. R is the result of what he's going through with. You see, O is the objective of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. S is the salvation that Jesus offers you. And the other S you can apply to security after you've trusted Christ. You see, all these things, the Lord says, I'll be there with you. I'll be a father to you. And you can be whatever you want to be, you see, as far as a relationship to the family, you see. Now, the question I come back to, we ask you this at the beginning. Why are we here? Oh, I love to study the Bible. I love to get up and try to teach you, you know, and everything. But this is not the main objective, folks. It's a vehicle toward that. We can't do it without the Word of God. But the main thing is that we need to take this book and learn how to go from this place and go out and influence those hundreds and thousands of people right in our own community that are just not saved. They're not going to church anywhere. We can be an influence for them, you see, if we'll just come to God and be close to Him and do the things that He wants us to do. I believe that they're doing a study right now. I think here in the church, making a survey, there's thousands and thousands of people right here in our community with a zip code of 37615. Now, we're talking about a project where we can contact every family. It has a zip code of 37615. That's around our church right here, you see. And so now that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to come up with some kind of a plan. Do something that will get this word out to people, you see, that you see. This plan of salvation. Now, Jody is preaching that. There's something. You may not be the main builder. You may not be the designer of that wall or things of that sort. But there's something you can do at Buffalo Ridge Church. It may not be very, you may not think it's very important or anything of that sort. You may not be up here on the stage singing or things of that sort, but you can do something when you walk out of this place if you'll take this plan right here and ask the Lord to make you soul conscious when you go back out and meet the people in the workplace or wherever you are. Now, the question is that we asked when we began this is, where do you want to be? What do you want to be? Why did we come here? And I submit to you that we need to learn from the Word of God. That's what the Bible study is all about. That's what the prayer is all about. Learn what the Word of God says about how I can win my neighbors to Christ. If I learn all of it and don't use it, it's no avail. It doesn't do anything, you see. But if I can take this, you ought not ever go into a restaurant, sit down, and eat a meal without bowing your head and letting everybody around you know that you thank God for what you're fixing and getting ready to eat, you see. That ought to be customary. Every time you do it, there are so many ways. You go in and you can take a track and reach it to a sales representative or something like that. Do all these things. The question is, why are we here? And I submit to you, it's to learn how to do these things to better serve God and to train and encourage and exhort other people to go out and do the same thing, you see, and win others. Now, the question is, you're in a family here. We're family. We belong to the family of God. The question I want to ask you is, how close to God do you want to live? You can stay away out here like the fifth or sixth cousin, you know. He'll still take you to heaven one of these days when you die. Now, I don't want to go that way. I've lived too long, folks. I want to try to finish right. And so that's what we need to convince ourselves what we ought to do. Now, where do you want to live? Somewhere you have an influence on somebody. Let's learn from this book and our Bible study what that challenge is for us, what our responsibility is, and go out and do it. And I ask you again, I want that to ring in your ears all this week, is where do you, in the family of God, do you want to be? You can be anywhere you want to. He said, there's plenty of room right up next to him, and he said, I'll be your sons and your daughters. And so this thing, the message Jody's been preaching is the building the wall is a place there for everybody in every phase of life. And you can do it. You can do it. Everybody can do something. Find your place and determine in your heart that you're going to live close to God and do it for the glory of God. Father, bless your word in our hearts now and help us that we'll commit ourselves to doing what we can to serve God and honor you in all that we do, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you.